Get ready to call the movers. Kiplinger's is out with its 25 cheapest cities to live in. And hello, Texas, we see you. But the big surprise is, what is the driving factor to finding the right affordable cities? Plus, we all scream for ice cream, but how much should Dairy Queen be changing with the times? Have you tried their keto ice cream? I'm kidding, but am I? Those two headlines, plus the big idea, tying them all together, and so much more on today's Money in the Morning. Welcome to Money in the Morning. I'm certified financial planner Bobby Rebel from the Financial Grown Up Podcast, coming to you from my very grown up kitchen in New York City.
And from Detroit, Michigan, in the Stacky Benjamin Show, I'm Joe Salci. Hi.
We take the big headlines. We use them as a foundation to help us all make and have more money. We top it all off with one big idea to set you up for success.
Today's episode of Money in the Mornings presented by Emperor Investments, automated investing refined. Emperor offers 100% equity portfolios designed to earn dividends. Well, guess what you do? You get to go enjoy your life for 6 months, 100% free. Use our link, emperorinvests.com/MITM. That's not Emperor Investments. That's a different site. It's emperorinvests.com/MITM. Thanks to Emperor Investments. And by the way, Bobby, thanks to you for not coming up with like a Dairy Queen kale drink, because that would be absolutely disgusting.
No, I've been trying some keto drinks and they're actually very tasty. The problem is that I don't really commit to keto. So I'll drink the keto products, but then I'll, or keto foods, but then I also still have the carbs and the sugar. So it hasn't been working quite right for me yet.
I get my keto, my carbs, and my sugar.
Or it's either keto or all the junk food. I've just kind of combined the diet plans, but you know, baby steps, right? Some guy talks about baby steps. I don't know.
Some guy in Tennessee might talk about that.
Maybe there's some Tennessee on the list we're going to talk about, though.
We've got some lady from the UK here. Yeah, some lady from the UK here right now to kick this thing off for us, though.
It's that time again. Your Money in the Morning headlines.
It is that time again, and I'm reading the first piece. This comes to us from Kiplinger. And you know what's funny is that normally I don't click on these links. I do not click on the 25.
Totally do.
What's it? Do you?
I do, because I live in New York City. And I'm like, help.
Yeah, but not this one, though. The 25 cheapest cities to live in. Oh, I see.
Help me. Help me.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
A better way.
Yeah, Manhattan's not appearing on this list. Spoiler.
Nor is Detroit.
But Dan writes, 25 cheapest U.S. cities to live in. When it comes to cheap living, don't mess with Texas. The Lone Star State is home to 7 of the most affordable cities in America. But Texas does have a monopoly on low living costs. A number of other states make multiple appearances on this year's list. If you're thinking about relocating to one of these cheap cities, weigh the pros and cons. A low cost of living is attractive, but the allure lessens if jobs are hard to come by, paychecks are small, or the town offers little to do. Plan an extended visit to ensure the city fits your needs. We compiled our rankings based on the Council for Community and Economic Research's calculations of living expenses in 270 urban areas. Its cost of living index measures prices for housing, groceries, utilities, transportation, healthcare, and miscellaneous goods and services like going to a movie or getting your hair done at a salon. And here is the list of the America's cheapest cities. You ready for these? Number 25, Morristown, Tennessee. Number 24, Lynchburg, Virginia. Number 23, Texarkana, looking at you, Texarkana, Texas/Arkansas. That's where I lived for a decade. 22, Fayetteville, Arkansas. Have you been there before, Bobby?
I have not.
That is a beautiful, beautiful town.
I don't know there, though, actually.
Yeah, I will take that. I love Texarkana. We'll get back to that, but I would do that all day. 21, Florence, Alabama. 20, Danville, Illinois. Number 19, Springfield, Missouri. Number 18, Anniston, Alabama. Number 17, Decatur, Alabama. Number 16, Temple, Texas. Number 15, Dothan, I think is D-O-T-H-A-N, Alabama. Hello, Dothan. 14, Amarillo, Texas. 13, Oklahoma City. 12, Gulfport, Mississippi. Number 11, Jonesboro, Arkansas. We have somebody who listens to this show in Jonesboro. Our friend Deanna is a CPA in Jonesboro. Give a shout out to her. Number 10, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, where I believe Mississippi State University, I think, is there. And then number 9, Sherman, Texas. Number 8, Joplin, Missouri. Number 7, Wichita Falls, Texas. Number 6, Conway, Arkansas, another nice town. Knoxville, Tennessee is number 5. Enjoyed my time there. Number 4 is Memphis. You could live on Beale Street, Bobby. Number 3, the town where I was born, Kalamazoo, Michigan. Number 2, McAllen, Texas. And number 1, Harlingen, Texas. Lots of Texas. Move to Texas, Arkansas, or Alabama, I think, is kind of the theme here, Bobby.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I do want to offer congratulations to all the wise people that live in these towns or have moved to these towns, because they are certainly, you know, got an eye on their finances. If that may be a factor in them moving there, it sounds like there's good value going on in those places.
I just got a chance to preview this movie that about the FIRE movement, Financial Independence, Retire Early. And it features one of the creators, Scott Rickens, and his family actually packing up from living in the San Diego area and looking for a lower cost of living, because as they see, it's going to take them forever to retire. So that's got to be, I mean, if you work online, like Scott and his spouse do in this film, being able to move to one of these cities could help you retire a lot earlier.
Right. I see two sides to this. I think you're pointing out an excellent thing, that because of the flexibility that we have now in this technology-driven workforce, which is fantastic, you can take a job that may pay San Diego wages, move to one of these towns, for example, in Texas, and have a fabulous lifestyle, or just live the appropriate lifestyle for that area and just be banking a ton of money. I have a friend that left the New York area to move to the middle of the country for a job, kept that New York area salary, and she's like, I got retirement solved. Boom. It was just done. Yeah. So there's something to be said for that. On the other hand, I do want to point out that many times when people live places that are ridiculous, okay, you might live in a really freezing cold,
Oh, and I think we lost Bobby for just a second there. We had a little Bobby Freeze, but I agree, Bobby.
So I think that money is one factor, but I think friends and family also should always be part of the equation as well.
Absolutely. And we lost you there for the middle of it, but I think we got most of that. My thought is, having lived, you know, back in Detroit and living in one of the towns on this list and growing up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, another town in this list, there is seriously something to be said for your mastermind. Number one, people around you who empower you and help you move. I mean, I see a lot of people in Texarkana, which is the only town I can speak to here, not really doing much because the people around them aren't doing much. It depends, actually. Even inside Texarkana, you had, you know, spheres of people that weren't empowering each other, and you had other people that were. And whether you're in a small town or a big town, I think you can find those groups of people. But I think in a bigger city, it's much easier. I had a discussion about this with our mutual friend, Farnoosh Tarabi. I mean, Farnoosh loves living in New York because she knows what she wants out of New York. She knows exactly why she's there. And because of that, she's able to take advantage of a lot of those things. I look at sometimes the things, Bobby, that you do, that Farnoosh does, and I think, man, if I were in that city, I mean, knowing what you want out of that city, I think is super important.
I would agree with that. I mean, look, for me, I was born 10 blocks from where I am right now. So this is my hometown. And actually, my son was born about 10 blocks in a different direction from where we are now. So this is I have very deep roots in the New York area. And so ultimately, we do joke about moving somewhere else because the cost is so exorbitant. But ultimately, my friends and family are here. But you also speak to the fact that career opportunities are here. I worked in financial business news my whole career, and that is in New York for the most part. You could go to London, and of course, you can go to other cities in San Francisco and all that. Also expensive, though. That's not going to change. I can just on a given week have so many amazing different things to attend that are enhancing both for my life and for my career just by virtue of being in the New York City area. There's so many great opportunities here and people to meet and just different things going on that there is a lot of value to that. And a lot of that cannot always be done virtually. I do set aside one day of the week where I don't schedule any tapings or any, I try to avoid having meetings and I just do things that are in person. I try to avoid phone meetings, I should say. I really just take the day and just go around Manhattan or the area and meet with people in person because this is a town where people really are. And meeting them in person creates a different kind of connection and value. When opportunities come up, they feel like they know you in a different way. And that can't be done if you relocate somewhere just for the money. There are other reasons to be in those towns. They sound lovely, by the way.
And some of them are. Some of them may not be. I mean, the ones on this list that I have been through, I like all those towns. The thing that I find interesting is something that Donna says in our Facebook group here. If you're somebody that wants to hang out with us while we record these live, watch us possibly mess things up. You never know what's going to happen next on this show. Head to Facebook.com/iStackBenjamins. But Donna says it's still a mindset. I think no matter where you are, you talked about taking advantage of stuff in New York City. When I was in Texarkana, what I really liked about that was that I could help change the community. I mean, I was on a nonprofit board that helped build walking trails and safer routes to school for kids. And it was funny because it was the town was small enough that I could easily get in and see a huge impact. And in Detroit, I'm already feeling how much harder that is because there's so many people scurrying so many different ways. I mean, you really have to, in the bigger city, know exactly why you're there. But big city, small town, it's still a mindset, which is why I like the idea in this piece, Bobby. And this is what I wanted to talk about next, was I like the idea in this piece of doing an extended stay before you do it. Like not a week where you're just seeing the touristy stuff or whatever, just hanging out, but stay there for a month. Because I'll tell you, we were in Texarkana for a month and we didn't know anybody yet. And we got really bored. It's a small town. There are, you know, we would always joke with people that we'll take you to one of the two restaurants when you come to town. There were more. Well, there were more than two, but it felt like that after a while. You know what I mean? You had 15 choices and you've been to all of them and you're, you know, okay. Yeah, great. But still really nice, tight knit community, nice place.
Yeah. I think in big cities, you have to find your own micro community, but look, New York City to me feels very small town because in my neighborhood, every time I go out, we walk everywhere in New York. And so we're not in cars like in many of the suburbs. And I do run into people almost, I would say 100% of the time when I'm going anywhere more than a couple blocks, I run into people that I know, neighbors, people are very friendly, everyone's out on the street. So there's a lot of advantages to urban locations as well, because we are out and about more.
Which is why I think it totally comes back to Donna's idea. Donna, I think you nailed it here. I think it is totally a mindset. We've got Bethany here in the comments who says that she's considering joining the California migration to one of these towns. Lower cost of living is incredibly tempting. It would make life a lot easier if you're intentional and you can move to one of these places. I mean, all the money that you can save. Yeah. And you could compare the upsides and downsides ahead of time. It's all a mind.
Especially when you started with a family, if you want to have a large family, multiple children, all of that stuff really does start to add up.
Right. That's our first one. I think my takeaway from this is location independence saves you money. But on the other end, I mean, let's just add Donna's comment one more time to that. Be intentional.
Yeah. And look at the whole ecosystem. It's not one little slice of a pie. It's the whole pie. You have to put it all together. Let's go to our next story, Joe.
Absolutely.
This is one that I found and it is, you know what? Where did I find this? I think I found it in the New York Post. It is the CEO of Buffett's Dairy Queen tries to find new tastes.
I actually have it directly from, I mean, it could be
somewhere. Where is it from, Joe?
It could be the Post, but I've got it direct from Reuters.
All right. You know what? It is Reuters. And it says that right there in front of me. All right. The CEO, the chief executive at International Dairy Queen is counting on the 79-year-old. We taped this live, guys. The 79-year-old brand owned by Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway to adapt to changing consumer tastes rather than latch onto the latest fad while ensuring the rising labor and food costs don't squelch franchises. And adding to my confusion, who is the author, Joe? Do you have that in front of you?
The author here is Jonathan Stempel wrote this.
Jonathan Stempel, who I know. Jonathan, great job with this story. All right. Troy Bader, who became the chief executive in January of 2018, said his company wants to ensure that devotees keep ordering their blizzards and chicken strips without turning off customers seeking newer products or with specific dietary needs. Quote, about 5% of disposable income is spent on away-from-home dining occasions, he said in an interview at the recent Berkshire annual shareholder meeting. Quote, transactions in the restaurant industry have been flat. So even if wages are going up, what I have for disposable discretionary spending is not. That's why you're seeing so much competition. Berkshire, whose 88-year-old chief executive favors the Dairy Queen Vanilla Orange Bar, a nice bit of trivia they put in here, Joe, paid $590 million for the Bloomington, Minnesota-based company in 1998. Dairy Queen's more than 7,000 locations, including 2,000 in the United States and Canada, recorded more than $4.5 billion, that's billion with a B, of sales in 2018. Bader said 2019 has been, quote, good so far, despite bad U.S. and Canadian weather. Quote, bomb cyclones and polar vortexes don't bode well when 50% of your sales are ice cream. Bader named, this is interesting, Joe, Bader named McDonald's and Chick-fil-A as key rivals. I wouldn't have thought that. Labor is the fastest rising cost for franchisees, especially when rising minimum wage is an issue on which Bader said Dairy Queen has no position. Squeeze the margins as customers favor such menu items as the $5, $5 lunch. Also rising is the cost of branded candies that Dairy Queen adds to ice cream. Bader said adapting to changing consumer habits is not a new idea. Quote, it is evolutionary, not revolutionary. When we look at trends, you have to decide which you're going to lead in, which you're going to follow, and which you may not participate in at all because they may not be right for or important for your brand. He said Dairy Queen, despite its name, is exploring desserts for people who avoid dairy, but won't dive into plant-based food despite the frenzy last week when Beyond Meat went public and its stock price soared. If it's appropriate for our brand, we will move in later. Right now, he said, the biggest opportunity is in our chicken strips, our burgers, and other products. Another major initiative, Joe, is technology, including the creation of a single electronic point of sale system. Bader, a self-described recovering lawyer, had interviewed with Buffett before the billionaire gave Vice Chairman Greg Abel oversight over Berkshire's non-insurance operating units. That's sort of tangential. Sorry, guys. But let's end with this quote. What I find interesting with Greg was he's the same way. I'm not trying to say Greg is Warren. Nobody will ever be Warren, but he's really smart and he's a really good study. So there's a lot going on there, Joe, with Dairy Queen.
I love
the blizzards. Were you going to say the same thing?
I was going to say, I just love case studies. And I think that when you're looking at your personal financial situation, looking at the way companies think about money, about their developments, about what they're going to try to do next, about how they handle costs, how they think about things. There's so many reasons to do that, because I feel like a lot of people go to work and make very rational decisions for a company, and then they come home and make very emotional decisions about their money.
Yes, I think that's very true. I also thought it was interesting that they think about these things so much. They think about, you know, their competition. I would have thought their competition would have been ice cream places, right? Because the first thing that comes to mind is ice cream. But in fact, they're focused on McDonald's and Chick-fil-A, and the businesses that where they see growth is really, you know, chicken strips. That's what they're talking about. And that's not what comes to mind. No. When I think of Dairy Queen. In fact, I don't know that I was really hyper aware that they even were big in the chicken business.
But if you think about that, you see that they're looking at places that offer a full range of food, but also are very known for their dessert. I mean, you know, you go into McDonald's and getting a shake that little apple pie that you're not really sure what that filling is inside, but you've got that filling, and a Chick-fil-A, which has the most incredible shakes on earth. I like the competition, like knowing who your real competitor is. I mean, you don't, and you also don't see Burger King here. You don't see Wendy's here. Like, very intentional about who the competition is.
Well, they also want to be thoughtful and evolving, but they also don't want to be jumping on trends. So they're being thoughtful in that they feel they have to offer some new things for people that maybe don't have dairy. But at the same time, all kidding aside from the introduction, they are not coming out with any kind of keto products. They're gonna wait and watch. They're not saying never. They're just saying right now they're not following on the no meat trend, that they are going to stay true to their roots with that. I also thought it was interesting that they talked about the add-in name brand candies, because that's something that people really love. And it is a fixed cost. Not only is it a fixed cost, it's a cost they can't control that can go up. So the cost of all of these mix-ins, like M&Ms and Oreos and Reese's Pieces, not that I would know, those, you know, people love those and they kind of are stuck with that. That's part of their brand. It's part of what they're known for. It's part of what draws people in. And they can't control the fact that, number one, they are a certain cost. And number two, that cost can rise and they can't control that. They also can't control if the minimum wage rises. And by the way, they're just not going to get into their any, you know, feelings about that. They're just going to kind of absorb the cost. But those are things that they can't necessarily control.
But here's what I like about that. When he says that they have no position, there are things that you can control, things that you can influence, and things that you have no control or influence. And most people waste a bunch of time on Facebook and other places complaining about stuff that they can't control or influence. He might be able to, and they might be able to control the minimum wage or the cost of their suppliers with these name brand candies. He doesn't focus on that at all. He focuses on what products they're going to offer and compete in and which ones are. He's focused specifically on the stuff that he can control. And if we did that more often in our personal financial life, that'd be phenomenal. I mean, fantastic. I love that. That was one of my favorite parts of this piece.
Yeah, exactly. So for example, when we're investing in the stock market, we can control how much we're investing. We can control how we invest, what investments we choose. But ultimately, we can't control whether stocks go up and down. You know, we just can't. We are observers in that. So we have to stick to our plan and our goals.
Yeah. And the biggest thing for me in this whole piece, though, was that it is not, when you look at changing, and he's talking about experimenting, he said, we're not going to ta-da change. It's evolutionary, not revolutionary. And he's always changing. And if you think about that, Bobby, that's just like life around you. Life is always changing. And so what is he saying? He's saying that we always have research and development going on. We always do. It's not something we're doing today. We're not going to all of a sudden, you know, completely change and become something that we're not. We're going to evolve as things evolve, which makes me think the corollary there for us. And for me, this was my big takeaway. What's your research and development organization in your family? Like, what is your family thinking about when it comes to evolving with the times? Maybe it has to do with your career. Maybe it has to do with the apps you're using to manage your money. Maybe it has to do with the way that you track things. I don't know. What are you doing to evolve over time? And that's your research and development, just like Dairy Queen has theirs.
Yeah. And I would just add, you need to adapt and pivot, but stay true to your core values as you go through life.
Yeah. I think those are fantastic takeaways. Lots of discussion about what Dairy Queen should do and shouldn't do in our Facebook group. And we'll lean on that for just a second. Lori actually points out sphere of concern versus fear of control. Absolutely. Another way to put that. Stick with your sphere of control. Kevin says, I see a big idea taking shape. Focus on what is in your sphere of influence or control. Everybody seems to be going the same way there. Talking about competition, Paul says, they'll never beat Chick-fil-A. They should stay in their lane with ice cream shakes, etc. I actually didn't think they were moving out of their lane. I think just based on the tenor of this piece, I kind of see them looking at Chick-fil-A as and McDonald's as aspirational, because Paul, I don't see them on competing with either one of these. Do you?
Yeah, no, I did not see that. But, you know, the truth is, I think that people going to Dairy Queen, maybe the kids want to have some ice cream and maybe mom and dad are eating dinner there. that could be part of it, that they want to have something for everyone. Maybe it allows them to have more flexibility, especially it seems from the article that they were alluding to the fact that, which is kind of obvious, that they can be a weather impacted business because people don't always eat ice cream in the freezing cold. So they want to have other offerings. So clearly the chicken business is not new for them. So that must be something that does bring in a reasonable amount of money for them.
Well, and you think about their competition and you think about what they want to do. I mean, Tony Robbins says that you should model people that do things that you want to excel at and you'll get there faster. And that is very true. You see that study after study shows if you model people that do something well that you want to do and put that in your brain, you're going to do it much more quickly. So Donna here says they need to learn speed of service from Chick-fil-A. And what if that's why he sees them as a competitor? Because he wants to show his people, listen, we could be faster like Chick-fil-A or McDonald's. I mean, McDonald's is they've systematized everything, right? Everything is a system. So if they can have that, what is it? Quality, value, cleanliness is the three things for McDonald's. Even I know that. If they bring that to Dairy Queen, this aspirational thing of what you want to be, if you take that approach with yourself and model companies that you want to be like or people you want to be like, I think you get ahead quicker. That's just fantastic stuff. I get really fired up about this. Nice pick.
Yeah, I like the story.
Yeah. In just a second, we are going to have our big idea. Lots of people talking about the big idea and what it might be. And Bobby and I will have ours in just a second. But first, a company that had a big idea when it came to robo-advisors was Emperor Investments. Like how I did that?
You're so smooth, Joe.
That was not smooth. But it absolutely worked. Because Emperor Investments did have a big idea, and that was this. The trend toward using robo-advisors to manage your money so that you don't do the wrong thing with your money, you get great diversification, and at the same time, you're not overanalyzing it, changing things too often, or I don't know if it's better or worse, but never weeding the garden, so to speak, taking out the bad stuff, putting in things that are more competitive, evolving with the time, like we talked about in the Dairy Queen piece. Emperor Investments does that for you. And the way they do it different than most robos that I really like is that they use individual stocks. So you actually own the individual positions instead of owning the best and the worst of a much, much broader, bigger index. What does that do? Well, first of all, they focus on companies that pay dividends, companies with a deep discount. And talking about the company that owns Dairy Queen, Berkshire Hathaway, and Warren Buffett, their approach is very, very similar to Berkshire Hathaway's. In fact, the founders of Emperor Investments were at the annual meeting just a couple of weeks ago. So for more on Emperor Investments and how you can live your life and do the things that you want to do and let them take care of helping you reach those goals, head to emperorinvest.com/MITM. That's emperorinvest.com/MITM. By the way, you will get 6 months free of their service if you decide that you want to use it just because you listen to the show. So thanks to everybody who's used our link, and thanks to Emperor Investments for helping out Money in the Morning.
Let's get to the big idea, Joe.
All right. Who's going first? So just to set this up for everybody, Bobby and I both have a big idea. We've done them separately, and we haven't told each other what our big ideas are.
I'll go first, Joe.
All right.
I want everyone to think about what your lead story is. What is your priority? We all want to live, in theory, in more affordable areas. Who doesn't want to spend less money and have more to keep? No one ever said, hey, let's go move to where our financial resources will always be under pressure. But yet, the big expensive cities are still attracting and retaining a ton of people, in large part because of things like opportunity. And if we're being honest, because people go and stay where they have friends and family. That's not to say that the emergence of the digital economy isn't changing that, just that living where you can get the best price on gas may not be the lead story, the lead factor in your decision. It's also about the people and the friends that you want to be near. And the same goes for Dairy Queen. People like the familiar. It's comfortable. Dairy Queen may pay up, for example, for name brand candies and their treats because that's their thing. It's who they are. It makes people happy. And yes, it's costing Dairy Queen more. And it could bring down costs by getting rid of those and putting in some other substitute, but that's not their lead story. The lead is making what people want and what they know is going to sell. And maybe even though some study says people might want, keto ice cream to somehow be invented, if that could ever be a thing. Joe's shaking his head. Maybe it is already somewhere. I'm not trying it, though. People really just want to have a blizzard with M&Ms and Oreos on a nice spring evening with their friends and family.
I want to have one of those right now, please. Everybody in the comment section is talking about their favorite ice cream-based treat, and it's not a good time to do that, guys. So to stick on point, here is my big idea. Not nearly as good as Bobby's, but here we go. When Cheryl and I decided to move our family from a major metropolitan area over to Texarkana, Texas, it was part of an evolution. And was it a big step? Absolutely. And we saw that our cost of living went down and that things changed, and mostly, frankly, for the better. But a lot of that was on us. It was because we were intentional about what we wanted. And we also knew this fact. We knew that while most people don't like change, change is a constant. And if instead of looking at change as scary and just realizing the change is going to happen anyway, so enjoying the change as it happens and taking advantage of the change, you can actually make change work for you. So whether it's moving from a major metropolitan area to one of the small towns on this Kiplinger list that we talked about today, or whether it's making yourself Dairy Queen, being aspirational about your competitors, and trying to change for the better as times evolve and you keep up and also decide where to lead and where to follow, grasping the fact that change is going to happen and it's up to you how you react to that, I think is a big idea that I think we should all remember.
I think that was an epic big idea, Joe.
Ta-da!
Well done.
That's going to do it for today, guys. Thanks to everybody on Facebook land for hanging out with us today. Like I mentioned before, if you want to hang out with us there or here, head to facebook.com/iStackBenjamins. And Bobby and I are here 3 days a week. Thanks to everybody who's left us a review of this show. And that's going to do it for us. Go stack some Benjamins, people.
And go be financial grownups. Bye, everyone.
This show is created by Joe Saul-Sehy, hosted and produced by Bobby Rebell and Joe Saul-Sehy, is engineered by Caden Thompson, and all put together by a pack of well-trained ferrets down here in Joe's mom's basement. You'll find Bobby at the Financial Grown-Up Podcast and Joe at the Stacking Benjamin Show. Go say hi to them there, too. Online, visit us on Twitter at Average Joe Money and at Bobby Rebell, or come join a live recording at our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/iStackBenjamins. I know you already know this too, but Money in the Morning is for entertainment purposes only. You should not act on anything recommended by a bunch of entertainers in a basement or even a Manhattan kitchen without first consulting your financial advisor, and second, dude, have your head examined. Have headlines you'd like us to discuss? Send them to joe@stackingbenjamins.com or put them on our Stacking Benjamins closed Facebook group. This show is a collaboration of Stacking Benjamins LLC and BRK Media LLC. Copyright 2019. All rights reserved. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and I reserve the right to always say, we'll see you next time back here on Money in the Morning.